Hello, and welcome to The Bee's Knees of Disney, the podcast that talks about Disney animated movies. All right, here we are. We're at episode 3, already number 3 here. Just going through these movies pretty quickly. I like to record pretty soon after I'm finished watching, just so everything's fresh. And I've been on a pretty good pace so far. We're at movie number 3 in the Disney animated canon, and that one is Fantasia, which is quite a movie. I have a lot to say about it, and honestly, it kind of blew me away, so I'm really excited to share my thoughts on this epic masterpiece. So let's get started. Alright, so I haven't really been doing this, but I think it's going to be useful going forward to give a little brief synopsis of the film, just to give it some framing. So, this one's interesting, because it's more of a premise than a plot, but basically the premise of this Fantasia is, it was an idea by Walt Disney to combine animation and classical music pieces, sort of listen to the music that's been around for hundreds of years in some cases and put a story to it or images that kind of match the mood. So that's a really interesting premise to begin with. And you knew that, judging by the animators' past the last two movies, that they were able to do something pretty awesome, and they did. So that's what Fantasia is. So the movie starts out with the orchestra and them getting ready and everything. The movie itself is treated like a real orchestra performance. Now, I can say this. I've been recently to one classical music performance at a pretty famous symphony hall. And so I've only done it, once. But I do recall, it was recently how it goes, and this had some similar feel to it. The person goes up there, kind of introduces what's going to happen, there's a program, what's going on. It was treated very much like that, with a little bit of the Disney charm of like some jokes here and there and that kind of stuff, but it was mostly straightforward. The person kind of standing there and introducing each piece and what it is and what the animators were thinking. So I liked how that was framed. Even the way the orchestra is lit is interesting. It's kind of blue and in the dark, and it aged really well. This is 1940 we're talking about, and it looks pretty modern and kind of interesting, kind of pops a little bit the way the it's lit. So this movie, all right. I laugh because I had watched Fantasia 2000 many times. I actually had that on VHS, and I'll get to that review way down the line, which will be interesting. But that's something I want to reference, because the difference to me between that one and this one shows where this one sort of is better, is, more in line with, like, quality. I'll get to Fantasia 2000, because I think there's some decent pieces in there, but as a whole, this one as a whole piece was trying to do something. And I think what this one had going on was sort of more subtleness. This movie is very, the images they use, especially at the beginning, are more abstract, they're more simple, and they're more not trying to tell you a story in your face. It's not like a music video where the classical music's sort of there, but you're sort of watching and seeing what's happening. It's sort of, they're both enhancing each other, and it's more subtle. It's more, the first piece, I think it's a Bach piece, it's just mostly images, it's mostly like colors, and it sort of just gets you in the feeling. And I liked that part of it. It kind of was an intro. It didn't just throw you into a piece, a story. It was sort of like, this is what we're trying to do. It was an easing into it, which I appreciated. And that's something I, you know, that goes back to the whole picture, the whole story, the whole movie kind of acts as it, together, and it all means something, each part. And this movie is 2 hours long. When I saw that, I was like, wow, there's a lot in here, and that's longer than most, you know, Disney animated movies. So I was just curious on what that would end up looking like, you know. So yeah, it starts out with this Bach piece, and it's sort of you know, simple colors, and it's all beautiful though. It's all very interesting. And we get to, it starts to get more complex. We see more characters. We see, like, I don't know if it was the first segment or it led into the second one, but there, it starts to be like personification of nature, like leaves coming to life and mushrooms and stuff like that. So that was interesting. That was all very well made. And I thought, like I said, easing into the whole concept was really smart, I think, especially because, you know, it's 3 hours, or 2 hours, and, you know, you need to sort of pace the audience, because this is very, you know, different type of, excuse me, I'm looking up the segment so I can talk about it more. So yeah, I'm looking here, that the Nutcracker Suite was when personification, like the mushrooms and the leaves, and I remember there's some like fairy characters. Yeah, so those are the first two, and I enjoyed those a lot. Those had great colors, great animation, great fluidness to it. You know, it kind of just eased in and out of each segment, and it was very hard to distinguish. It puts you in a trance, this movie. It there's certain times where you're just fixated because the music is low, you know, getting you in a certain mood, and the visuals as well. I mean, obviously that's the whole point of the movie, but it's sort of, yeah, it sort of combined the two. And that was the whole point, but they did it really well. And there's some points where I was completely fixated, and the first two I was. The third one's interesting, because this is a really good scene, The Sorcerer's Apprentice, but I have seen it many times, because it actually included on the Fantasia 2000. It was one of the ones, they brought it back from the original to play, just the same way it was. So I've seen it many times, so I didn't really completely lock in when I was watching that one, but that one's still really cool. Great animation, great story. That was the first one where there's, like, a real story. You know, it's, like, Mickey Mouse, you know, dressed as a sorcerer. His, like, boss goes to sleep, so he tries to do this stuff, and he messes up everything, and these broomsticks come to life, and it's crazy stuff. So that one's good. I'm not going to say it's not good. It's just not one that I was focused on. But it's definitely a solid inclusion in the lineup here. The next one. This is the one where I really started to feel like they're going for some stuff here. Some bold choices. It's The Rite of Spring, and this one, you know, he starts introducing it, and this guy is talking about some deep stuff. I mean, the narrator, he's talking about the beginning of Earth, the beginning of life, you know, and then dinosaurs, and I was like, wow, this is pretty ambitious. And you're like, I don't know how they're going to pull this off, but, you know, they do, they really, I don't know, I appreciated them going for it, you know. That was the number one thing. You're like, all right, they're going for something big here. They're not just going for, you know, there's a flower and he falls in love with the other flower, something like that, which you could easily do. But this was like, let's go with a really deep, kind of broad, huge topic. and just animate it. And I think that's what made it work too. I think, you know, having it just this huge broad thing, it didn't make you focus on like a particular character or a particular thing. You just sort of like were wafting. You were sort of like just being in that air of like deep thinking and just kind of abstractness to this real scientific thing. But it didn't say much, you know, rhetorically. There wasn't much rhetoric behind it, which was nice. It was just sort of there for you to observe and kind of come up with your own thing. So it starts with like the amoebas and the beginning of life, and then this fish, like, and you see like there's sort of a fish going through like this Darwinian thing, survival of the fittest, seeing other species die out, and then this fish ends up growing legs, and it's done seamlessly. This animation, seamlessly. He grows legs and he goes on land, and then eventually the dinosaurs come out of this. I liked the dinosaur part. It wasn't part that like really grabbed me. It seemed a little, I don't know. It's the best they could do, you know. You didn't want to like, because there's been so many animated dinosaur stuff since then, so you kind of spoiled or seen it. But this was one of the originals, so I mean, you do have to give it credit for that. But I don't know, it might be because it was in the context of the whole, you know, piece, but I enjoyed, it made me think of Monstro from Pinocchio and how menacing he was, and the T-Rex wasn't as, just because it wasn't, there was no mood created with his animation necessarily. Like, Monstro had this sort of mood, you know, he had this darkness, and then sort of like you couldn't see all of him, and he was huge, and this T-Rex was kind of like a T-Rex, which is scary, but it didn't have that menacing kind of horror frightening vibe, but he's still scary. So I like I said, I think that is mostly due in part to this whole piece wasn't meant to jump into some horror dinosaur thing, so I can forgive it for that. I mean, forgive it. I'm sorry. I forgive you, Disney. No. Yeah, it's just something I noticed. I've been, I guess, spoiled the last two movies with great villains, and I thought that was a villain, but it wasn't really. And actually, we'll get to the part of darkness in this movie. There's no shortage of that. So, no, I really like this one. I thought, like I said, the main point that I liked was it wasn't saying much. It was just showing you. And that's, to me, a big difference between this and Fantasia 2000, which, like I said, and I'll get to, and it has good segments. But as a whole, that one is sort of telling you a lot, trying to tell a cute story. This one's not doing that so much. This whole movie, it's sort of just showing you stuff. I think that's kind of the Walt Disney way, especially at the beginning here. He's an artist, you know, he wants to show, he wants to paint a picture as opposed to just telling you things. So I noticed that definitely in this Rite of Spring segment, and I just thought it was much more interesting to watch. It just made you, it let you think, and I'm sure people watching this would, you know, think a lot during this, and it did the same for me. Those were the first, let's see, let me count them up, 4 segments, and I believe after that there's an intermission, so, in the movie, which was cool. It was like a real intermission, like they do in orchestra. So we're going to take an intermission now, just because. Alright, so yeah, that randomly awkward and inserted intermission, but this has been doing this show like this anyway, 2 parts, sort of. I get into it a little bit and then I bring it home, and that seems to be something I like doing, so we're gonna do it this way. But anyway, this makes it good because there's actually 3 more segments that I can talk about. The next one was the Pastoral Symphony, which is Beethoven's sixth symphony, which was a great choice. I like it when artists sort of choose great things by great artists that not many people know. And this is an example where I think, you know, they could have chosen the fifth, which I think they do in Fantasia 2000. But anyway, they could have chosen a more famous thing, but they kind of took something good and made it their own, which is awesome. This one, you know, they introduced it as Beethoven wanted to do like a... This was about the countryside in Germany or wherever he was at, Austria. And so this one was done in a creative way where they were doing like Greek mythology. And, you know, in that you expect all the gods and goddesses, Mount Olympus, but they went for a different route, which I thought was cool, was interesting. Going with these centaurs and the Pegasus. And it's all well and good. I enjoyed this one. It wasn't one that I well, no, there was some good part. I mean, I don't know, I like the Pegasus. It was all well drawn, obviously, and I don't know if I've said this or not, but the animation in this one is probably the best so far. Might be some of the best in Disney, I'm sure. Just for the inventiveness, the colors, the liveliness, the seamlessness of everything. They really went all out with this one. So, in that respect, I respect all of them. But with this one, it wasn't something that necessarily grabbed me. But it was good, and I enjoyed the centaur ritual or whatever was pretty funny. That was a little awkward to watch. It was like furry stuff or something, but no, I liked it. I thought that they hit some good emotional beats, like with the two centaurs that like were alone and they found each other, like the Cupids or whatever in it. And another thing that struck me about this one was the music almost seemed like tailor-made for this. Like, I don't usually, you know, I've seen some of this stuff, the Fantasia 2000, where you're like, it matches pretty well. You know, they made a good choice, but it's obviously, like, not, didn't feel like conjoined, like they both are, like, weaving in and out of each other, but this one did feel that way. This music, I mean, it felt like I'm watching, like, this music and this animation were like born together. Like that's how it really felt. It was just perfect. And I think they did some certain things choice wise with like the centaurs playing instruments when the symphony had that certain instrument that just really like blended it really well. So that I definitely liked. And the more I talk about it, I think the more I like this one. Wasn't subject matter I'm like super into, but overall it was really impressive and joined together really well. All right, so the next one, I don't know how I feel about it. Let me see if I talk this one out and see how I feel. But Dance of the Hours, which is like this ballet, it's a little cheesy. It's like these hippos and the ostriches, and it's not, I don't know, it kind of threw me a little bit with the tone of the rest of it was very, like, deep in nature and sort of observing. This was, like, in-your-face, cartoony animals dancing with, like, this kind of slapstick humor. It was different. I understand they probably wanted something different to try because it was a lot of, like, serious, heavy-handed, which I enjoyed, definitely. I mean, that's what I like about this movie, but... So I guess they wanted some kind of humorous, semi-humorous, I guess, thing. It was definitely technically very impressive, you know, with making the dancing and like, imbuing it on animals. And that's very ambitious in that regard. But... It's not the same thing. It's not one that grabbed me. Exactly. I just thought it was a little cheesy. But I liked it. I mean, like I said, you can't fault the animation in this movie. You can't fault what they're trying to do in each and every segment. Like the ambition, the colors, the you know, that part, you can't be like, this, none of this is lazy. None of this is, like, phoned in. It's just the tone I wasn't really into. It kind of set me up for, I don't know, it didn't seem to match. But the interesting part about that is the next segment, which I think this might be the most famous, infamous, whatever you want to say, segment from this movie. And when I saw this one, I go, okay, the last one makes sense. You needed a break before this one. Because this one, to me, this is the best one. It's called Night on Bald Mountain. And Ave Maria. So the host, I'll go ahead and, like, because this is my favorite part. I think this is brilliant. Really. The host, he sort of introduces that this is going to be two different music pieces. I'm like, oh, that's interesting. Like, one after the other. And they hadn't done that. And he explained the beginning was about Satan. You know, very upfront, not saying this is darkness, this is the bad stuff at night. No, he's like, this is Satan, this is the devil. That's a bold choice. And, like, I imagine, like, Walt Disney walking into the room of animators being there. All right, we got everything, but this last one, I think we're going to do one on Satan, the devil. And they're all like, what? Yeah, the devil, you know, horns, everything. Okay, it's a kid's movie? No, but that's such a bold choice. Really. I mean, I think the more I watch these movies, and I think this, you know, this is well documented, well known that, like, Walt Disney was directly involved in the first couple movies. Big time. Obviously, he created the company and all that, but, like, more so than any other time. It's like, this is the ones where he was using his personal touch and personal ideas more than any others. And this is, I'm just imagining this is him sort of coming in the room and saying, I want to do the devil. I could be wrong about that, but that's such a bold choice. And I noticed that the Disney in this age is bold. Like, they go for it, and they go for the utmost extreme, in a way that works, you know. And I think that's a sign of, like, a good artist. You know, they make bold choices and they stick to it. And he's like, all right, we're doing the devil. I'm sure whoever said that idea in itself, I'm sure gets some pushback. But then you go, no, this is something interesting here. And it really is. The music, and it's Satan. It's you know, this demon sitting on top of a mountain, and he's pulling, like, souls from the ground, and they're floating in the air, and they're turning into these, like, people, and he's messing with them and throwing them in fire. And it's dark stuff, but it honestly, it kind of shocked me. I mean, I think I've heard about this, you know, the devil's in Fantasia or something like that. But watching it, I go, this is where it needed to go. This is a bold, interesting choice that needed to go this way, to sort of make the impact. And I thought that was, you know, it was unsettling, but it needed to be. And it really, right after this hippo dancing with a crocodile, and you see this stuff, you're like, there's some range here. And that's something I think made me appreciate the movie as a whole. And the last segment, the ballet segment, was watching this. This was something you had to put at the end. And so it's not a very long, I think it was like 10 minutes. I lose track of time when I watch this movie. It's very interesting. But the whole segment is not that long, the beginning. And it does affect you. You see, like, people suffering and dying and the devil. And he's very menacing. And the way he's animated is great. That's the menacing part I was missing from the T-Rex, and I think that's why. You don't want to make the T-Rex scarier than the devil, right? But, yeah, so they have all these sort of images, and I'm trying to recall. I mean, it was like a sweeping, it hits you all at once, so I might have to watch it again at some point to really see everything. But, you know, I remember, like, fire, people being thrown in there, being manipulated into these, like, creatures, like, and then it Then the coolest part was the transition where the devil's doing his stuff. And there's like a light that keeps shining at him, like boom. And he's like, all right, what was that? Okay, I'm going to keep doing boom. And he's like, whoa, whoa, what's that? And you can tell like there's a change, this swell change. It's like boom. And then he disappears or he hides. And then we get this beautiful Ave Maria, which the song is awesome. Song is great. The animation was interesting too. It was very subtle. It was like they could have gone with like birds chirping, but it was like more abstract. Like I said, this movie's more abstract. And there's like these, from what I can tell from my interpretation, which I think it is up for interpretation, this movie in some aspects, like any great art, is there's like these, it looks like a line of people walking with two side by side with like lanterns, which is such an interesting choice. And it's so, it's not super powerful. It doesn't make you go, whoa, there's light in the world. We're all hope and all that. But it does affect you. And it does it to me, it affected me kind of subtly. You know, it almost was saying, like, this is the light that we have. It's there. And it's not, we don't have an abundance, and it doesn't shine, like, bright and blind you, and the sky is pierced by it. But there's a subtle light there that we all possess. That's kind of what I got from it. And then we do see, like, the greenness come out, the color. And that's very brief. And then that's it. Movie ends. There's no credits. I mean, if you were in the movie theater at that time, the movie would just go black. And you'd be like, curtains would come up. And that would be it. And so you're just sort of left with that. And I sat with that for a while. And I think it's meant to be that way. The finales are always meant to sort of hit you and stick with you. And that one, another reason I think works so well is another instance of, you know, Disney doing the light and dark, extreme light, extreme dark. And this one is just that personified, that's the utmost example of it. And using the one piece of music and then a different one directly after is really interesting. And I think you can only do it once in this thing, because then you get tired. It's like mashups, you know. It's like, oh, they're going to start with this and go to this. Okay, I know where this is going. But using it once and using it singularly and using it in this way, light and dark, really worked well. And it was sort of like the genius of Disney, in my opinion, like choosing that and doing that and sort of being able to tell the two different sides of the coin. And it's not very jarring. It's not like, oh, you know, and they do say these two different styles of music are different, and they are. But the way they go together, they do. And then the narrative pushes it, of course, like, you know, all this dark imagery and then, you know, but it does, like, it feels natural for it to come after. It doesn't feel like sad music, happy music. It feels like we went through something and this is the afterbirth or after effect. And so, yeah, that last sequence for me, pretty freaking good. And so it seems like these Disney movies always drive it home at the end. And a lot of great movies do that. They sort of keep you on the rope, and then at the end it drives it all home. But that's not to say I didn't enjoy the rest, because I did, and I thought, but that last sequence really did something really great, and I think that to me is what the standout. Yeah, so those are my thoughts on Fantasia. You know, I really enjoyed the movie. It's more like an experience almost. I think at the time it was very groundbreaking, and I still think it is in regards. I mean, music videos aren't something that we're all familiar with those, but that sort of the concepts that they were using, the sort of abstractness, more there's some surreal stuff, the outside the box thinking, that is what makes it groundbreaking, I think. Melding those, the sort of the magic of Disney, if you will, is what kind of makes Fantasia kind of stand the test of time. I really recommend this movie to watch. If I recommend any movie so far that really could capture any age. I mean, maybe you're not in the mood to watch Snow White or Pinocchio, but I think an adult would really appreciate Fantasia. It's one of those movies that I think has a lot to offer, and I think it's probably worth repeated viewings, because it was just something that really stuck with me, and I really enjoyed it. So yeah, so next movie that I'm going to talk about is one I'm looking forward to. It's Dumbo, which is a movie that I kind of have a personal connection with, actually, sort of, and I'll talk about that in the episode, but I haven't actually, I don't think, sat and watched it, just like all three movies have done so far, so it's going to be really interesting to see how I react to it and what I think about it, so I'm really looking forward to that. Thank you for listening. We're going to continue to grow, hopefully, and get more listeners, and I appreciate you tuning in, so we'll see you next time. Thanks a lot.